this ability to forgive, you know, it doesn't just begin and end with the African American issue. I mean, it's all through the fabric of our culture. There are powers in place that rule the consciousness of the planet. Are y'all aware that you are being manipulated every moment of every day?
Sure.
I mean, the frequency of the planet is given a consciousness expansion between, let's just say here and here, I don't know the numbers, it's some kind of a megahertz, it's some kind of a megahertz. And this is where, at the very bottom, it's fear, fight, flight, you know, all the lower energy, and up here it's the joy and the love and the peace, and we fluctuate in between that. The powers that be know the vibration of the planet, and they know where human consciousness is.
Bob, I spoke that very same thing. I didn't even know what I was saying. I told somebody that.
Absolutely, and every single time the consciousness of the planet begins to ascend, or resurrect, however you want to call it, another incident is placed into our history to captivate the one who has the ability to deliver the planet, and that's you. You have the ability, by your conscious intention, to rise, make the vibration of the planet ascend, and it's in your consciousness. Around the planet, I'm sorry this is going to sound woo-woo, but around the planet is a blanket. The Earth is covered with a level of vibration. And just like a little vibration surrounds an egg, or the waters in the placenta surrounding a baby, the environment is right for three-dimensional life, which is the knowledge of good and evil. It's perfect, and it's maintained as long as the human being stays in between here and here. But when the mean average starts to rise, that's when we see planes strike buildings. That's when we see genocide in Rwanda. That's when we see violence happen in the streets through picketing and rioting and all of these other things, or we see focus on starving children over in Africa, and the media wants to captivate and hold captive the mechanism that has the ability to cause the vibration of the planet to ascend.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
No. And then, I don't want to get racial, I hope y'all don't think when I say this, but the people in the Black Liberation Movement and NCAA, they know that vibration. They know how to interpret it. They know the consciousness that, and that's how politics work. They know when it is, all right, it's time for this thing to happen. It's time for, you know, abortion will become a law. It's time for, they know it.
Most of the, and I at risk to say this, most of the people that are responsible to hold the captive, the captive audience are white, American, Anglo, Saxon, men. So you can be offended at men, or you can be offended at white people, but it's not a race thing. It's a human thing. It's not a race thing. It's a human thing. You know. But suffice it to say that if you give your attention to something that brings schism, you're as bad as the one that's bringing the vibration to begin with and putting it on the TV or inciting whatever. We have got to turn our focus and our attention on love and appreciation. Every color, every race, everything. It is all a tapestry, and we are meant to participate in this tapestry without judgment. And when I say, you can hear people talk about, like, the Bilderbergers. Anyone ever hear that term? The Rockefellers, the Illuminati. Yes, they are here. If you want to be captivated by the conspiracy and what's going on in the planet, you can be. You can delve into all sorts of darkness if that's where you want to be. But I want to speak to the 10% of people that I'm called to that is supposed to rise above like cream on milk and not participate in those lower vibrational things. I have a friend over in Ireland that talks about these things all the time. I've sent a barrage of emails all supporting you know, the conspiracy theories and the Illuminati, and I know there's truth in that, and I know that, you know, there's lots of books and lots of evidence, but I don't want to focus on that because I know, listen to what I'm saying here, I know that my conscious focus on something negative and feeling disturbed and feeling that energy come out of my chakras, if I'm holding that thought and that emotion focusing on something negative, I am creating the same thing.
Oh, God!
I am creating the same thing. So if we want to give our attention to that and it brings us joy and peace, then have at it. That's not who I'm supposed to be speaking to. I don't judge people that are involved in conspiracy theories and, you know, ETs and UFOs and dark, you know, interest in matter. I'm not called to those people. I'm called to one that's supposed to rise up and to raise the energy of the planet. So, with that said, I want to talk today about your ability to create consciously, co-create. And when I say that there are those that know how to hold captive the consciousness of the Christ and keep it earthbound in material business and consequences. They know how to do it. That's why when I turned off the TV, I could not watch it. Because every single time I would see something happen, I would feel some movement in my body. And then I recognized by listening, how many of you have heard of Abraham? And I'm talking about the channeled entity, Abraham. Channeling was such a big thing back in the 70s and the 80s, very poo-pooed by the church. But yet the church could say, thus saith the Lord, and it was fine. It's the same thing. You know, there is one spirit. Now, I think that there's different levels of progression in spirit, like Seth. Jane Roberts channeled Seth. Y'all remember Seth? Back in the 70s? Seth was a fifth dimensional density. So he had gone through the first, second, third, fourth, fifth. So he knew a little bit more than we did, but he wasn't a Melchizedek. He hadn't been the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. Okay, so he wasn't classified as a Melchizedek priesthood. And I think there are still things being worked out in consciousness. Okay? And what he has to say is incredible. But you have to look at it and discern for yourself. And always use love as your guide. Always. So Abraham is a channeled entity that speaks through a woman named Esther Hicks. The books are amazing. The information that comes out of this person will blow you away as far as who you are and why you're here. And I want to just take a moment of time and I want to circle around and bring clarity again to why you're here and what purpose you are. You are a very sophisticated generator of energy. You have wheels within the wheel of your aura. Your aura extends out sometimes 10, 12 feet from your body. It's circular. And you have small little circles within your body. And it's where your endocrine glands are. And I don't have all the names, but there's the cells of Leydiger's, the adrenals, the thymus, the thalamus, the thyroid, the pituitary, and the pineal. You can get a lot of really good, interesting information about the chakras. But suffice it to say that your body is a sophisticated generator of energy. Now, most people sit with their energy at the base of their spine. And it's in a cradle, and it looks like this. It actually looks like a cup. And it's a holy grail. Okay, and it's energy and it just sits here. And what we need to do as awakening beings, recognizing that our bodies are sophisticated generators of energy, is learn how to make the wheels spin. And how you make the wheels spin is by breaking the scrolls, breaking the seals on the scrolls, like the Book of Revelation. That's what they are. They're trumpets. They're scrolls that come out of your body like this, and there's seals on them. And who is worthy to open the seals? Who said it? You say it louder?
The Lamb.
The Lamb. Is that something outside of you?
No.
Is that a nature that's inside of you? Is it innocent? Is it loving? Is it kind? Is it peaceful? Is it gentle? It's that nature, that awakening Christ in you, that has the ability to start moving these sophisticated wheels of energy. And a lot of times, human consciousness stays stuck. You can watch people, and all they are is fearful. Have you ever known someone that's so fearful? We had a woman in the deliverance ministry that would take her blinds and tape every single layer of blind shut. And she could have no light come in whatsoever. Completely captivated by fear. And it is a place in human consciousness, in human evolution, that was there at one time. And some people have moved on and some people have not. And she had not moved on. Fear, fight, flight. You know, captivated by those lower densities. And that's the bottom, that's the root chakra. So once you begin to move out of fear and you begin to move into a different place, well, then those seals can be opened up and it starts to move and process energy in a positive way. Same thing with survival. Instinctual survival, which is here. Then it's emotion in the solar plexus, which is here. Then it's love, unconditional. The lower three rule the carnal man. The upper three are the spiritual man. And the heart is kind of like the one that, you know, the lower three chakras pull up energy from the iron core of the earth. The upper three pull it down from the ethers and it meets in the heart. But base human consciousness that's stuck in fear, the wheels are not moving. So we need to forget. Forgiveness is key. And it begins to move the wheels, and we begin to function as a very sophisticated mover and projector of energy. Now, how many of you have experienced when someone walks in a room, and the first thing you want to do is go? How many of you felt that? You felt something so that repels you from them, and that's rejection. That's someone who's chakras are moving, but in a reversed way. It's not clockwise, it's counterclockwise. And it has that effect on you that you just want to have nothing to do with it. Well, we can feel those things. We can feel that, which is why there's such need for forgiveness and healing in the body. So not to get into all of that too much, I think that you would all benefit if you got a book on chakras and read on your own. And discern on your own, because everybody has an opinion that may not be accurate, but they're good to learn about nonetheless. But I tell you this because as developing Emmanuel, which is Christ in you, Jesus had the ability, as our pattern, to do anything he wanted to do with focused thought and emotion, did he not? We saw the example of what he did with Lazarus. Focused thought and emotion. He had mastery over these sounds, these frequencies that are able to raise the dead, to change matter. He had that ability, and so do you. So when I talk about consciously co-creating reality, we need to take a hold of our emotions and begin to bring healing and forgiveness to our body, and to begin to take captive our thoughts and then begin to create according to love. So when I watch TV now, instead of being pulled, you know, let me give you an example. If I watch a commercial with a baby that's a skeleton full of flies because they're not eating, yes, it's great to send money if you want to, but when I look at that and I just go, I'm focusing in despair, and I'm focusing on starving children. So what is it, do you think, that I'm creating? Now think about this. The universe is vibrationally based. We send as I am. We send instruction out there to create. So if the I am in me, the Christ in me, the creative principle of the Father, no one gets to the Father but by me, as awakening beings that have this growing, this planting of Christ in them, the one that is able to create reality if that being now focuses on something and says, I'm sending out a frequency that is saying starvation, death, destruction, starvation, death, destruction. And the universe is saying starvation, death, destruction. Now this is simple. When Jesus said, take every thought captive, this is what he's talking about, because you as sophisticated creators are creating reality. You have the ability to change the world. And it's only going to take 10% of the population. It's all it's going to take is the tithe.
So when we were in church and they gave this crying story, whatever it was, and now let's pray, and were we giving out this negative energy all this time and we didn't know it?
At some level. At some level, I think it was very positive. But at some level, you know, this is the key here. If I say, I can't pay rent, I can't make my house payment, God, I need money. I need money, and I need you to send it right away. I need money. I don't know how I'm going to make it. What we have requested, and remember, the universe is not language-based, it's vibrationally based. So we're sending out lack, 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 lack. So what do we get back? Lack, lack, and that's why we see cycles of poverty that never seem to change. So I'll tell you a really good story. My sister was just learning this principle about taking every thought captive, about, remember the scriptures that say, believing that you've received it? Okay, so she's sitting in a bar in Milwaukee, and she's waiting for her friend to get off work. And she's sitting next to a man, and he is full of despair. He has cancer, he's sick, he's lost his wife, his kids have turned on him, he's had his car repossessed, and he's sitting there literally crying in his beer, and she's telling him, but stop, you have to stop talking that way. You have to understand that you're creating your reality. And he's like, what are you talking about? And my sister said, well, look, this is how you do it. You have to imagine that you have plenty. She said, now let's say that I need a couple of $100 because I need to pay my rent. If I focus on the need, I'm going to get back needing money. So I'm going to figure that I've got it in my pocket. I'm going to figure I've got a couple $100 in my pocket. I'm going to picture myself paying my landlord. I'm believing that I've received it. I believe it's in my pocket. I believe everything is going to be okay. I'm going to attract that to myself. This is the law of attraction. I'm going to believe that it's there. I'm going to believe that my need is there, and everything is going to be okay. Just then, the bartender comes up, puts this huge pickle jar in front of her with a slit in the top, and says, Karen, do you want to do the shake of the day? And she reaches in her purse and pulls out a dollar bill, puts the dollar in the pickle jar, and the shake of the day is a Yahtzee cup. And you can shake one time. A pair gets you a dollar. Three of a kind gets you $5. Four of a kind gets you $20. Five of a kind, or Yahtzee, get you half of the contents in the pickle jar. And so she's talking to him and she's telling him about the, you have to feel it. You've got to feel it down inside of you. Like, yes, I've got it. I've got it. And she lets the dice go and she gets five fives and gets a couple of $100 from the pickle jar. Sometimes it's that fast. So again, we talked yesterday about shift. It's just shifting the way you see things and see reality. Jesus tried to relay this all the time. All the time. You know, the man that was laying at the pool of Bethsaida was waiting for the water to an angel to come and stir the waters. So symbolically. So symbolically. And what did he ask? He said, wilt thou be made whole? He didn't say, go and wait, you know, I'll lift you into the pond, because the man said, I have no one to lift me into the pool. He just said, you know, will you be made whole? Ask him a question. And the next thing we know is that he's rising up, take up your bed and walk. So Jesus was not the status quo person. He was giving out mysteries, and especially when he said, you know, ask what you will, believing. But, you know, how many of you know who Greg Braden is?
Mm-hmm. I got a book.
There's a book called The Isaiah Effect. Get it? And in The Isaiah Effect, he talks about that particular scripture. And the actual language, the Aramaic language, says this. Ask what is in your heart to receive, believing and being surrounded vibrationally by your answer, and you will have what it is that you surround yourself with. So, you know, Jesus is talking about a very sophisticated being that's inside of us, an essence that is able to create and draw to it whatever it is that it desires. The clue is to not continually look outside for external answers, because that's the age of the law and literalism. The age to come, it's believing that it's in here. Everything that you need is in here to create. So taking captive your thoughts, very important. And just shifting slightly. If you want to do something about world hunger, then you don't focus on the framework of the skeleton of the babies. You focus on health. If you're sick, don't focus on your sickness. See yourself as vibrant and whole. It's easy. It's just a shift. Yes, ma'am.
Can I give you an example?
Yeah.
They play music. He used to play music at the Jolly Inn. And at night, there were, at the meeting, you know, people would bring a potluck dinner, and then they had the, the money that they collected, they called it half and half. And I'd always tell Ray, I never win nothing. We always pay him, never win nothing. I said, but you know what? Tonight I am going to win that pot. And so we went and we got each a ticket. He got one, I got one. And they called out the number, and I kept looking at Ray, and I kept saying, I'm winning that pot. I said, I never win nothing. I said, but tonight I am a winner, and I'm going to win that pot. So they start to call out the number, and I'm looking, and I said, yes, yes. And the two couple that was with us, I told them, I said, tonight I'm winning this pot. And they said, oh, yeah, right. I said, I'm telling you, tonight I'm going to be a winner, and I'm winning the money. And they started, and I said, yes. And they're looking at me, and I said, yes. And I scream out, I won! I got it! They look at me, they say, oh, you lying. I said, no, I got it. And they said, let me see. Oh, she does got it. I said, I told you I was going to the pot tonight. I was tired of being a loser, you know, and always would say, I never win. That's why I never play bingo, because I never win, you know, and that was my motto. But that night I had determined, I had felt it, and I said, in my mind, I was a winner.
That's cool.
I'll tell you another chick story.
I'm gonna go to the boat.
Oh, shit. She was too awake. Another quick story. Chris, my son, after the accident, was watching. There's an incredible DVD set called The Secret Behind the Secret by Abraham, Jerry, and Esther Hicks. Very, very good and informational. He watched that. And in that tape, or in that DVD, Abraham tells us about the power that's inside of us. That's the spirit that has the ability to create reality. Very sophisticated energy, a generating ability based on vibration from the universe. And so Chris latches a hold of that, and he says this: I want to go see Abraham, and I want to ask when I'm going to get my arm and leg back. And I said, well, we're going to see Abraham on such and such a date. He said, get me a ticket, Mom, I'm coming. So now we're on the river walk in San Antonio, and Chris says, we're eating ribs, and Chris says, you know, I just have this feeling and this desire, I'm going to be called up to talk to Abraham. I'm going to, because what Abraham does is they fill a room with several hundred people, and then they choose throughout the day different people to come up and sit in the hot seat and be able to ask any question they want. And Chris said, I'm going to be called up second. And as a mother, I didn't have the heart to say, well, if, in case it doesn't, you know, you just need to know that it's not a wasted trip. And, you know, I kept myself from saying that. And instead, my desire was for him to be called up. I just Actually, I wanted any of us to, but I really wanted Chris to be called up because he made that proclamation to us. I'm going to be called up. I'm going to be called up second. So we get there an hour early to get a good seat. Every front row seat. I mean, we sat in the back row, in the very back row. And the program begins, and Jerry comes out and talks for a while. Esther comes out and talks for a while before she allows Abraham to start flowing through her. And then Abraham starts to flow, and you can see the change. And I mean, it's just so much love. Lyle and I, our shirts were soaked. They were soaked with tears because Chris was called up second. Second. And he, you know, waddles up front. You could have heard a pin drop. Every eye was on him because here's this, you know, young man, good-looking guy, missing an arm and walking on a prosthetic leg. Walking up to the front, could have heard a pin drop, and he sits down and says, excuse me, I'm a little nervous. But my question is, I know that I'm getting my arm and my leg back, but I'm a little impatient. Can you tell me when? And across the whole, I mean, there's a couple of hundred people there, easy. And there was nervous laughter. And Abraham, with so much love, which is the Spirit of God, says, there is nothing. There is nothing that is impossible for you. And so Abraham began to talk to Chris about the dynamics of creation and how to focus your thought in the area of your desires. And instead of saying, I want, I want, I want, you will produce wanting.
Right.
Get it?
Right, yes.
If you, I need, I need, I need, you're going to produce needing. If you produce, I have, I have, I have, you're going to produce the manufacture of flesh and blood. Now, I'm telling you this. Back in 1994, we had a prophet come through town. And this is before Lyle and I really knew anything about spiritual matters, necessarily. Didn't know anything about prophecy. And this prophet had us stand up, and he prophesied to us. And he said this. You will teach people how to take the land flowing with milk and honey. And your losses will be restored, even flesh and blood. Maybe someone's going to lose a finger or something. I mean, that's what I thought. That some, you know, his brother lost a finger. I thought, you know, but so, you know, we knew that we were incur some kind of flesh and blood loss, and we did. And we also know that those things will be restored. So I travel and teach and speak to teach to, you know, teach you about the potential that's within us. And all we need to do is shift our attention, and it's coming down the pike. It's within our grasp. Jesus said it's here. It's within reach. And it always has been. So let's go to our book here. Some of this we've already covered. Again, Carl Sagan said, if you wish to bake an apple pie from scratch, you must first create the universe. If this celestial being, this energy, this mass, desired expression in physical form, what does he have to do? He has to create a physical format. Simple, right? From before the foundation of our world, the material universe is conceived. The divine devises a plan and builds a platform from which to experience itself. This requires a material format, and so the universe is created. Stars, nurseries, galaxies, and worlds of Earth. Again, the spirit that is etheric, if it walked in the room right now and wanted to have some kind of interchange with us, except we be very intuitive, we would not know it because it's beyond our five senses. Yeah, it has to be discerned by another way. Okay? And so this grand story is simply that spirit desired a manifestation in matter. Period. So a material world, universe, is needed to be created. This love, this divinity, this beauty, desired manifestation in form. So it had to create a format suitable to do that. And so the universe is created, subsequently the planet is created, and subsequently a biological container with which to partner with, that is you, was created. Then the biological unit had to be penetrated, had to find a way to come in without blowing its circuits, and had to allow this creature to become fully exercised in the knowledge of good and evil in duality. And this is the part that's missing for you all, and I'm going to try and get through this as seamlessly as possible. But the reason that the creation, the creature, was subjected to futility, which is duality, the knowledge of good and evil, but it was subjected to the one in hope, was so the creature would be fully immersed in the material world, but that would one day wake up and recognize who and what it is. And the emotions that you come to use and experience and to become discerning at are necessary in order to create matter. You understand that? Mm-hmm. The emotions are necessary. Where we are going from here is we will be creating worlds without end. This is a school. Third dimensional reality is a school. It's limited. It has a governor. You know what the governor is called? Time. Time. In the book of Genesis, it says, man is now mortal. Therefore, his years will be numbered to 120. There is a governor on our ability to live and create. All of our creations, mold, rot, rust, disintegrate. Am I lying? Everything is temporal here. And it says, lest man eat of the tree and live forever as a mortal, egoic human being. So there's a governor of time placed upon us, a restriction. Just like the trucks, where you can't go any faster. Who's driven a truck with a governor on it? Nobody's driven a truck with a governor?
No, we ripped them things off.
I've driven a U-Haul with a governor. Can't go faster than 60, 65 miles an hour. So our ability to create is limited to this dimensional level. And it's a school. Yes, ma'am.
Is that what it means when the two angels of fire blocked the garden of Eden so that they wouldn't be in that state forever in a low vibration?
Right. So when it says we're cast out of the garden...
But it was guarded.
It's guarded. It's
so we can't go back unless...
And so we're here just banging it out, awaking up and understanding who we are. You are the saviors the world is waiting for. You're the sun. That's who you are.
I had to leave my sons of God teachers from what you just said. They're always... I said, well, what's wrong with... Why am I today? And I said, well... They're all dead, and they never saw that day that they spoke about almost their whole life. And I said, it's got to be today. It can't be. So
it says today in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, right. Today, don't harden your hearts.
Yeah.
You know, and be like those that did not enter in because of unbelief. Be strong and of courage.
Yeah.
And take what's promised to you. So it's a process of coming out of those old constructs of belief. Because we have had it pounded into our heads that we're sinners, that we can't get there, but we need to believe and understand who Jesus said we were, and that's, he's our pattern and he's our brother. He's who is in, it's what is inside of you. It's the spirit that was inside of him that animates the body. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken your
mortal
bodies. Now come on, people.
Yes.
This is such an exciting thing, and this is here for you, each one of us, to discover that path and walk on it. We are consciously co-creating reality, whether we realize it or not. Every single person out there is a generator, a sophisticated generator, and mover of material things at a quantum level. We're doing it. We're limited, but we're doing it. Right now, we have time as a governor, And as a stopgap, so that, I mean, can you imagine if we didn't have the governor of time on us right now? Because what we say would be immediately, or what we thought would be immediately. Right now, we've kind of has to we have to think about it and say, well, no, I shouldn't think that way. And I mean, so we're getting there, but in the fifth dimensional level, as we transition from one age to the next, there is no time. What you say shall be.
But even that, in a sense, has always been. We just have not recognized it.
What do I think what?
No. In other words, it's always been. It's just now we're coming to the understanding what's always been. There, in a sense, even though we put in the time, we're talking about time, there really is no time. It never has been.
It's only here to train the ego.
Yeah.
It's for the ego to learn who it is.
Yeah.
And to come to that place of willful submission. You recognize who you are and the ability that's within you.
And in the last couple of months, he's been dealing with me. He says, your words have power, and you can create what you want, you know, with your words, by your words, about what you speak, you know, what you say becomes reality.
Yes.
So that's why we have to be careful of our words, of how we choose our words.
Absolutely. And not only... Okay, so talking now about understanding the times. So during the time of the Exodus, and when Moses was leading the people out of Egypt, and he went on to the mountain to collect the Ten Commandments, what do you think the ruling astrological sign was above the earth at that time?
The bull.
Taurus, the bull.
So what do you think the consciousness is like? Think about a bull.
Yeah, stubborn. Won't receive.
See, that's a ruling energy over the earth at that time.
I see.
So if you look out to the east, directly to the east, 6,000 years ago, the constellation of Taurus would have been foremost. Now there's something called the precession of the equinox, which the band of 12 constellations that's around the planet shifts to announce a new age. So the ram, the golden calf that they made at that time, what happened to that golden calf?
It was worshipped.
And what did Moses do?
He destroyed it.
And in other cultures, Mithras was seen putting a dagger in the throat of a bull, because it signified the end of an age. So that was the end of the age of in consciousness, where things were bull-like. A lot of strength of the ego, stubborn, determined, strength. So that was the age of Aries. I'm sorry, of Taurus. The next age that came was the age of?
Pisces.
Aries.
Oh, Aries.
The ram.
The ram.
And this was signified because there was the ram caught in the thicket.
Yeah, that's how it
is. There was the shofar, the ram's horns, and so a lot of symbolism denoted what the ruling constellation was. 2,000 years later, the ruling constellation was Aries. And that passed away to the age of?
Pisces.
Now we've gone from land-based animals to water, so we're having a shift in consciousness. Okay? And so Jesus said when he was about to be crucified a couple of days prior, they were concerned about where they would celebrate the Passover meal. And so they asked Jesus, well, you know, good Jews don't miss those, you know, Passover celebration. And how many know what Passover means?
Passing over with the...
That was when they were in Egypt.
What is it?
That doorpost meant the bloodshed of human.
The firstborn does not have to die. Mm-hmm. They were passed over of the death angel, and the firstborn did not have to die. Now remind me, I want to come back to that. So they were saying to Jesus, where do we celebrate the Passover? And he said, look for the man, or look for the person bearing the pitcher of water, and follow them in to the city. Okay, so now we're the age of Aquarius, and who knows what the age of Aquarius looks like? The constellation. You know what it's called?
The water bearer.
Water bearer. And this is what the constellation looks like. So what's being poured out of the container?
Human consciousness.
Yes!
Yay!
Isn't that profound? So they were asking Jesus, metaphorically, we want to celebrate where the firstborn does not have to die. So when are we going to be able, and where are we going to be able to celebrate the firstborn in the mortal world, in the world of matter? This is the firstborn, biology, then born of the spirit, born of water, humankind, then born of spirit. Where do we go to celebrate where the firstborn does not have to die? And Jesus was saying, in the age of Aquarius, look to the water bearer and follow him. Isn't that cool?
Because aren't we the firstborn?
Yes.
First fruits?
Firstborn.
First fruit company.
Another symbol, you know, you've heard me talk a lot about union, the coming together of the male and the female. That's the masculine and the feminine, the soul and the spirit, God and man. It's a cooperative effort coming together in union. And in our patterns as male and females, that pattern is intercourse, correct?
Yes.
So the blood on the doorpost is a portal, right? And just, and if you don't mind me getting a little graphic here, and I covered this a little bit, but when a virgin is penetrated, what happens? It's a shedding of blood, and the blood covers the portal. So symbolically, what the blood on the doorpost is saying, it's the innocent life of the Lamb, the nature of the Lamb, you know, the one that is manifest when we lay down that life of self. That's the blood on the doorpost signifying that union has taken place between soul and spirit. That is how you escape death of the firstborn, is by the blood on the portal. You get that?
Mm-hmm.
It's deep. But that's part of the symbolism. In the age of Pisces, you know what the Vesca Pisces is?
Fish.
Male and female.
It's the overlapping dimensions. The womb. The womb. It is in New Age. I should have brought a picture of this.
Yeah, I got the light on.
Do you know what cellular mitosis looks like? Looks like this.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
The cell divides.
Oh, it's a fish.
It's the age of Pisces, the fish, or the birth portal. It doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to figure out what that looks like. That's the birth portal. And in this time, Jesus was telling us that there would be conception during this time, the age of Pisces. This is when that feminine energy would open up and receive the masculine energy. And it would create the nature of the Christ. It's happening during the age of Pisces. Do y'all get that? So during the age of Pisces is when the penetration takes place and spirit enters biology in a larger measure than what it had previously. When it was breathed into and it became a living soul. This was a time when they were saying, Jesus was giving us a key during his time. And his appearance and entrance into the world is symbolic of us being breathed upon by him when we received the Holy Spirit. Humanity at that time received that divine spark within man. And that Christ would grow inside of us. But here's what I want to talk to you about. Christ is a verb.
Is it what?
It's a verb.
Verb.
It's not a last name for Jesus.
Oh, no.
It means anointed one.
Right. So this is another interesting thing, and I'm just going to kind of follow the drift of the Spirit here and talk to you about a couple of cool things. In astronomy, June 21st is the summer equinox. It's the longest day of the year. And from that time, the days are the longest, and from the northern hemisphere's perspective, the sun moves southward, and the days become shorter and shorter and shorter, until on December 21st, it reaches a point where it no longer descends. And guess what? It stays in a still, static position for 3 days. Doesn't move.
Hmm.
And in this position, do you know what constellation is here in the background of the sun? It's called the Southern Cross. So it said that the sun died on the cross, and after 3 days,
it comes back up.
So I want to talk to you just a little bit about the World Cross.
We can't see that here, though, can we?
Northern Hemisphere can see it.
Only like in Australia or something like that?
For Northern Hemisphere. So, isn't it interesting that these mysteries were put into
the sky?
You know, the heavens declare.
Yeah.
So when you look at the Earth as a school, classroom, terrarium, opportunity for growth, you understand that it's here that an incredible opportunity for growth and expansion in consciousness exists. It's a place where free will can have its full reign, can have its pleasures, can have its life, but it's also here where that same free will entity can say, I get it, I'm a servant. The spirit needs a mechanism by which to focus thought and emotion. You've heard me say that several times today, and I need to keep saying it. The spirit needs a mechanism, which is a human mind, through which to focus thought and emotion in a material world. If spirit did not want an expression in the material world, it would not have sought out a helpmate.
Wouldn't you have lost her?
If spirit had not wanted an expression in the material world, it would not have sought out a helpmate. But it needs a container from which to experience the material world. And this is an incubator. The Earth is an incubator, and it is growing Christ consciousness. And what happens when a crop is mature?
It's harvested.
What does that look like? Don't know. But I know that where we're going, the consciousness is necessary for creation. And when Jesus said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven, we know that this crop, once it leaves this dimensional level, is made into a different form. And that's why he recognized, you know, they recognized Jesus when you heard me talk all about the broken bread. But let's talk about Christ for a little bit now. So Christ as a verb, that was an eye-opener to me. Because I saw Jesus Christ as a historical figure. I did not know that. And this is a bit of a stretch, and this is a hard thing for Christians to hear. But the story of the death on the cross and the resurrection was not a new one. There were many that preceded Christ. There was Mithras, Attis, Horus, and those are just three, and all three of them were predated Christ, some by a couple of thousand years. And the pattern was this: that they had a supernatural birth, that they had a wilderness or jungle type experience where they were tempted of evil for 40 days, 40 nights, where they emerged victorious, where they gathered around themselves 12 disciples, and where they were killed and resurrected in a miraculous manner. What do you think about that?
In the book of Mahdi, he said that they were
many.
Yeah. Did Donnie recognize that?
Many Christs.
Who was that that died and two Jews were carrying him and he fell on the tomb of Elisha and come back to?
Yeah.
Wasn't that something like that? I can't remember the exact.
Came back to life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the possibility of there being other Christ of beings?
Yes.
That would make sense.
So then we would understand that Jesus, the term Christ, which is a verb, is not unique to Jesus.
Does Christ also mean, I think of the word Christ, it's going to mean another verb. So when I think of Christ, I think of love, and love is a verb. So.
Well, and we talked about this last night a little bit, anoint, and anointed one, to anoint, that's what Christ means, and anoint, the act, the physical act, is when they would rub oil into skin, so much so that oil, a symbol of spirit, and flesh became one. Okay? Some of you heard me sing this song. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready, but there's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. Do you know how much fear that instilled upon me as a little girl? I mean, horrible fear.
I think that's the rapture thing.
Horrible
talk
fear,
about.
The rapture theory. But you know, really what it is two men are walking and one disappears.
Uh-huh.
It's the two becoming one in union.
Well, if you think about it, because in our ignorance, I think we talked about this in Dixon. My feeble interpretation and all everybody that was in the Sunday school class, you know, two men were in a bed. And it also says, and so here we are. Yeah, this is these two homosexuals.
Ooh, yeah.
One of them gets saved, and then the rapture happens. Oh, my God. God, we're ignorant.
yesterday, teaching us about the breaking of bread. We never got into that.
Yeah, we did a little bit last night.
You didn't explain it exactly.
Do y'all want me to talk about the breaking of bread again?
I would like to.
Okay, this will help. Let me finish my thought on Christ, and then we'll come back to the bread. So, if there were other Christ of beings, you know, this is threatening to Christians because we want to be the right ones. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about Christianity in general. And by the way, the title of the book that I'm writing is titled Escaping Christianity. And it's my journey through fundamentalism, my journey out of fundamentalism and into Christ. I don't want to take away anything that Jesus did. You know, but the institutionalization of Christianity was done under Constantine's rule and reign, and that was done for a reason. Human consciousness needed that institutionalization. But you know what happens when the root breaks the pot? The container becomes too small. When the baby gets too big for the womb, there has to be movement. And that's the third part of our, you know, my talk here is on movement out. So to bring clarity, Christ just means anointed. And anointed means one that has been imbued with spirit, that has allowed that unity, that union, that penetration where the two men walking and one disappears. You know, the two become one flesh. Spirit totally occupies spirit and flesh is occupied by spirit and the two become one. That's a Christ of being. Enoch was a Christ of being. There were many Christ of beings. Jesus was a pattern and he left the freshest footprint. You understand what I say when I say the freshest footprint? He was the most recent one in our history that was able to do what he did. And he left with us a pattern and way of escape. So Christ is a verb. Many, many, many Christed beings have come and gone. It's not a last name, it's actually a function when a person is imbued with spirit. They yield. Be it unto me as you've spoken. And that Christ's energy grows up inside the body.
So is Jesus as the name? His name?
That was his name, yeah. Well, no.
No, they named
it
Jesus.
Wasn't. Let me...
Well, there's a Hebrew name.
Jesus meant saving.
I've got a $10 bill in my wallet that I will give to anybody who gets this answer correct. I'm going to write down my answer so you know that I don't make this up. And I'm going to ask you, what is God? And if anybody gets, maybe not the right answer, but if anyone guessed the answer that I wrote down, I'll give you a $10 bill.
God is energy.
I know you say energy.
God is love. He's
got the you and me.
Yes.
Us. Spirit. Spirit.
Lyle, you don't count because you heard me say it.
Everything, all in all. Consciousness.
Infinite potential.
You want to read this? And read it loud.
German word for good?
German word for good.
German word for good. Did you say what is God or what the word is God?
I said what is God.
What is God?
German.
German of the word.
It's a German word for good.
Oh, German word for good.
Oh, do y'all get where I'm going with this?
God is good.
We put so much on names and terminology, but really what God is unnameable.
Right, because he's all everything.
I say God because I know that's how I can relate to y'all, but you've heard me say energy, consciousness, divinities, divine spark.
The universe.
Yes, and my effort is to... And I'm not the only one that's done this for you, because you're not, you know, fresh out of the chute here. You've been participating in circles like this. But my desire is expansion, and not to have you linked and tied to old, you know, mindsets that no longer serve you. So God is a German word for good. And, you know, they took it and ran with it. The Germans had a good idea, so they took it and ran with it. Thank you, Ray.
It's a good thing, what the spirit
said. Yeah. So, you know, in the days to come, let's go ahead and challenge some of our terminology. If we challenge our terminology, that is a really good way to bring us out of old structures of thinking. So when I say consciousness or divinity, I mean, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. It's, and if you talk to Lynn Hayes is the first one to tell you that it's not what the names of God are. That's not, we're just so limited to that understanding. Is that good?
Yes.
Well, his name sort of, whenever there was an occurrence that happened and they call him El Shaddai, well, for generations, he was known as El Shaddai. And then when something else came, all the Jehovah, Nissi, and Rome, all these names, he was known for that for as long as these generations lived, you know.
But Elohim is the family.
Yeah, and see, it's important to understand that Jehovah, you know, somebody said to me, they were really railing on the Muslims and saying about, you know, how can they, you know, call us infidels, and how can they look to their Quran because it's filled with, you know, murder and blah, 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 blah. And I just looked at them and I said, have you read the Old Testament lately? We're so quick.
Stoning them at all.
What did you say?
Stoning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God told them to kill the animals and everything.
Right.
Okay, so but you know, it's important that we understand our origin is spirit, but our journey is in flesh and blood. And the journey in flesh and blood is according to dualism, the knowledge of good and evil. So man needed a God that was dual, that loved and hated and rewarded and punished and gave life and took life, and that's Jehovah. He fit the bill. He was exactly what Dual Man needed for his journey.
Yeah.
And then Jesus came and said, that's not my father. He said Elohim, it's plural. So, you know, and some of these really simple things that are not taught to us in Christianity, like the Old Testament and the New Testament, is just your journey in consciousness. It's divine's journey in consciousness. The Old Testament is under the law when you see things literally. The New Testament is under grace when you see things figuratively. And the book of Revelation is the completed God-man. So it's just a journey.
There's a story that gives you an idea of that it was the consciousness of man that was creating their God. You know, it's when they asked for a king, because we want to be like the other nations. Mm-hmm. And if you'll go back further, you'll see that's where the sacrifices came from, because of their invention in their minds to be like the other nations that did the same thing.
And that's where consciousness was, and it was okay. It was, when I say fledgling, isn't that a cool word? Everybody knows what fledgling means. You think of something young and weak and innocent and beginning. And it's like if you look out into a field where there's just a little sapling, you don't expect a mature fruit to be on a little tree. It doesn't have that weight-bearing ability. And Jesus said, there's so much that I long to tell you. And Paul said, I want to tell you about Melchizedek. I want to tell you about these immortal beings. I want to tell you, you know, who you are, but you can't bear it now, because your consciousness has been one that has drank milk. And you've heard me say, meat is reserved for those that are full age, who by reason of exercise have had their senses, you know, exercised to discern good from evil. So, journey through the Old Testament, we had a God that loved and hated, just like the Muslim God. So we're not innocent, you know, and all we need to do is discern.
I was talking just a while ago about that, and that how would anybody ever rise above what they believe their God is like, that good and evil, yin yang? Well, they're going to be that, you know. They're going to be back and forth, in and out. And you can rise above your God, you know, especially in that servant attitude.
Yeah. So Christ is verb. Christ is a mode of being. Christ is an innocent one. Christ is love. Christ is representative of a being that has willfully submitted to spirit and has birthed this babe, this new consciousness. And Paul said, I travail in labor until this entity, this nature, is formed in you. It's not outside. It's inside. And it comes with special abilities that we talked about today. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and call it an afternoon. It's 4, so we've had a good long time. We'll have a good break. And I want you to be thinking about what you would like to talk about tonight. Now, we can, if you would like, have a time to move energy.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
If you'd like that. I want you to think about it, because it's like deliverance. But each one would be responsible for their own energy system, their own body. But I would take you through just a few simple steps of moving energy in your body. If you feel like you've got unforgiveness, if you feel like you've got trapped energy, we can collectively move it today, if you would like to do that. If you don't want to do that, you don't have to do that. It's up to you. Sound good?
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the breaking of bread this evening? About the aliens?
About the aliens? It's breaking bread. We can talk about whatever you'd like to. Does that sound good? Y'all be thinking about something specific that you have a question about. And we'll talk about whatever it is. We'll have pot luck tonight. Whatever it is that you would like to talk about, from aliens to, you know, whatever you want.
It's bread.
Sure.